Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is actually your half-hour inspirational programming. This show is brought to you by Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc., the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, and we've got a great show planned for you tonight. This is our spiritual component of the show. This one is on survival tips during a pandemic or natural, practical survival tips during a natural disaster or pandemic. So, we're going to get into it by inviting the presence of the Lord to our program. And Father, we thank you for creation. We thank you for all that you do for us and continue to do for us, despite us going through some challenging times. Be with us, O Lord, through this program. Help someone to be inspired. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. So there we have it. So tonight we're talking about practical survival tips during a pandemic or natural disaster. Now, you know, we're always hearing about disasters taking place in different areas. We hear about tsunamis, we hear about twisters, tornadoes, hurricanes, so many things that are going on. And I would like to just say that sometimes we don't know why. We don't always know why God allows natural disasters, pandemics, or other things to take place in our lives. But our faith has to be that we know that something is going on and we're not in control, and we have to trust where we can't trace. And that's what I believe. We have to get to a point where we can trust God where we can't trace him. And we have to begin to realize that, you know what, some things we can't do anything with, or like the serenity prayer. We can't, you know, we just have to pray that God give us the strength to be able to accept the things that we cannot change. And that's how we have to kind of look at it. But I want you to be inspired tonight. I really do. I want to tell you a little story, and I want you to be encouraged, and that's what I want to do on these Friday night shows. There are times when I want to actually just talk about some spiritual matters and practical matters, and then there are times when I may have a group discussion where we're learning about each other's faith, and we're learning about faith in general and how we can maybe where we hear someone else's testimony or their story, and it may increase our own faith. And so that's what we want to really kind of get into tonight and on my Friday night shows. It's not really the big Thursday night show that we do where we're getting into relationship issues and stuff like that. I want to get into some things on my Friday night shows that deal with I mean, the Thursday night shows are very real as well. And the Friday night shows is about really faith. It's about faith. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. You know, and God tells us that if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, then we can move mountains. Well, you know, when I used to hear that growing up, I didn't even know what a mustard seed was. And so I just thought that that was a parable in the Bible. I didn't really think that there was a mustard seed that really existed. And so what I did was, as I got older, I went into the grocery store and asked them, do you all have any mustard seed? And I was basically just kind of joking with the people to see if they had anything that could have been a mustard seed. And so what I did was they actually answered yes, so it surprised me. And I said, well, let me take a look at it. So I did, and I bought a pack of mustard seeds. And then I started to begin to study these mustard seeds and do some research on them. And I came to discover that these things are, they're so tiny. They are so tiny, but they're interesting. And as such, I began to take really stock in and learning what they were about. So what I did was, as I got older, I began to preach on the mustard seed, you know, mustard seed faith. And let me tell you, it's been one of my most powerful messages. You know, we talk about mustard seed. You know, in order for us to be able to accept things that we cannot change and so forth and so on, you know, it comes a time when we may have to even look at, you know, faith comes down to individuals. And it comes down, there's two things that I always say that your whole, everything about you, when it comes to this world, whether you're talking about spiritual matters or practical matters, it's going to be something where you're not always going to have evidence of something. You're not always going to have evidence of something. Some things appear circumstantial. Some things appear direct. Circumstantial is where, you know, just say, for example, a man, a woman thought it was her husband that went into this hotel with another woman. Well, just what happened, it was her husband that accompanied the woman in the hotel. And even though they were having problems, but, you know, friends may have seen also that this man was in this hotel with this woman having some dinner at a hotel. We never saw him really go up to a room or anything like that and stay there for extended periods of time. And this is a story that I want to share with you all. And so the friend who saw the husband, and I saw, girl, you guess what? You wouldn't believe who I saw. And with your husband, this woman, and she's calling him all kinds of names and so forth and so on. And she shares with her that, and she exaggerates the story somewhat. As sometimes people who are spreading gossip or rumors, they will do. They will exacerbate the stories, exaggerate it, and all of that. And so she says, listen, they were sitting so close together, and I mean, you know, I just, they didn't see me, but I saw them, and they were really, girl, they looked like they were about to kiss. They were so close. Now, when the reality of it was, yes, the man was there. He was having dinner with this woman, and it was early hours. It was an early evening dinner with her, and he told his wife that he would be working late. He did tell her that, and he had a client, and he didn't specify that it was going to be a male or female. In fact, he thought it was an assumption that it was going to be someone, a client that his boss for him to meet with, and he didn't know. But, you know, it's always assumed sometimes that the boys are going to play with boys and the girls are going to play with girls. And I don't mean that necessarily in a literal sense as we get older. But this so happened was a client that he met there, and it was a female. And so what the friend did see was correct, but her exaggeration of the story was incorrect. And so now the wife, who's already having problems with her husband, now she's worried. She's terribly upset, terribly upset. So, in fact, what she does, girlfriend gave her the details of where it was and so forth and so on, because she immediately got on the phone. So now the wife comes to the hotel, and she's asking if this man is registered, and they have nothing of that. So she goes and finds that they're in the hotel. She waits there, and she watches to see what happened. Well, when she saw she realized that they were not sitting close together. And in fact, there were two other people that joined them by the time, right? There were two other men that had joined them by the time. And just so happened that one of those men turned out to be this woman's husband. They had a business together, and these were the clients. And so now the wife can't tell what's going on because they're all talking and they're laughing and they're doing their business, but it's a dinner. And so now the wife doesn't know what to think. She's like, I don't know these other two gentlemen that's there with my husband, with this woman, and this woman has to be the woman that my husband's with. It must be because my girlfriend wouldn't lie to me. They were about to kiss, she said, after all. That's what she said. So now, in her mind now starts to play tricks on her because of what she heard without evidence. Without evidence. And it just so happened that it was direct evidence that the girlfriend saw him, but it was circumstantial, the fact that he was there on business and not what the girlfriend or the wife thought it to be. You see, so sometimes things are of such that there is no direct evidence. Sometimes there's just circumstantial evidence. People are in a certain place for a certain reason, you know, at a certain time. But it doesn't mean that because they were there, that something was happening that friend portrayed it to be happening. Now, come on, somebody help me out here, Holy Ghost. And so what we're saying is, you know, even with the fact we're talking about practical survival tips during a pandemic or natural disaster, we don't have direct evidence of even the existence of God. So everything is going to come down to two things. It's going to come down to your faith and your belief system. That's what it's going to come down to. Anything, even that wife, it comes down to whether she has faith in her husband and belief in her husband to be honest and faithful and truthful to her. That's what it's going to come down to, her belief system of him, irregardless of what somebody else says. And you see, you will oftentimes, when someone is out here trying to encourage you about the word of God, you're going to find that there are people that will come along and they're going to tell you, like, I met a woman today. Well, actually, someone I know. And she says, you know, I don't want to hear about this God stuff. I don't want to hear about this stuff. So I didn't go into the God stuff because people have to discover it for themselves. But I can tell you this, I didn't put the sun in the sky. And I don't know any human in its form that has the power to do that. I didn't put the moon out there and command it to be the distance it is to give us the light at night. I didn't put the cosmos out there. I didn't put the centrifugal force out there to keep everything in order. So, but I just got to believe that something or someone did that's greater than human factor as we know it. Now, whether you want to believe, here we go with the word believe again. Everything comes down to your faith and your belief. And the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of the things not seen. Evidence of the things not seen. There's no evidence of everything. You're not always going to have evidence, and sometimes you may have circumstantial evidence, and you may have direct evidence. That's what you're able to see for yourself. To see for yourself. So even with that wife in there, she couldn't figure it out. Because the husband wasn't sitting right next to this woman. You know, so it just happened, circumstantial evidence, a direct evidence was she saw her husband there. You know, but she doesn't know. I mean, he wasn't registered there at all. And, of course, if he's hiding something, he's not going to be registered in his name, chances are. It could have been registered in her name. But that was not the case. So, you see, you're going to always have people that come along to try to affect your faith and your belief system. And if you listen to them long enough, I guarantee you, you're going to let a window of doubt come into your mind. And even the law says, it talks about it, that when the judge gives his instructions to the jury in a criminal case, if there's a reasonable doubt or a shadow of a doubt, you must acquit. You must set the victim, the defendant free. If there's a shadow of a doubt, a shadow, you know, you ever open a door, and all you're doing is opening this door, and then the sun come in, and all you got to do is crack it. You're just looking for a shadow of enough. You know, sometimes, you know, I've seen movies, and people get stuck in caves, you know, in these caves, and all they're looking is just for some sunlight, a shadow of sunlight to come in. Then they know that there must be an opening somewhere in that direction where that shadow is coming from. You see, so when we talk about these things, I'm here to tell you all that, listen, no, there's no direct evidence that God exists. But you know what? That's where your faith becomes in. And that's where your belief system comes in. And you know what? You're going to always have people trying to challenge you. You always will. You will always have people trying to challenge you about what you believe in. And then if you listen to them long enough, you're going to form some doubt. You're going to form some doubt. And let me tell you something. When that doubt starts to set in, then everything else starts to mess up. When that doubt, you see, when that lady, she jumped out and she went there to that restaurant where she heard rumors and gossip that her husband was there with another woman. When she rushed out there to find her husband there, you see, all sorts of things ran in her mind. That woman, because she was upset and believing her friend, they were about to kiss because the friend exaggerated the story. She exaggerated the story. And so now the wife is upset because in her mind, her husband is betraying her. Her husband is violating their vows. And so she's already upset. And when you're upset, sometimes people can do stupid things. You know, her drive over there could have been fatal. Over something, someone tried to intercept or intervene or interfere with. That's the word I'm looking for. Someone trying to interfere with the sacredness of her marriage. And that woman could have died in an accident en route over there over something that was not even real. And you see, this is what happens oftentimes. This is what happens with people. They start to believe that window of doubt. Because you know what? It is true. One thing is certain, for real. Misery. When people don't have facts, they want somebody to believe that. And when you start to accept people that will tell you anything, let me tell you something. That becomes your foolish nature. That becomes your foolish nature. Because if you're going to follow people that don't give you the facts as they know them. No, we don't have facts that Jesus exists or that God exists. But we do. There's a fact that there's a sun out there that's very powerful. Okay? How did it get there? What we do know is there's a moon out there that's also powerful that gives off light, night light. What we do know is that there are other planets and galaxies out there that we're not able to even get to. So how did they come into being? How does everything stay in such a systematic order? How does that work? There is a system out here. There is a system out here that's allowing everything to be in place and organized. Even our body has a system. And I'm telling you, it comes down to your belief system and your faith. And just as I'm telling you, practical survival tips for a pandemic or natural disaster, let me tell you something. It is better to be prepared than to get prepared. It is better to be ready tend to get ready. You know, I lived next to a neighbor for 28 years, and he was a military man that was retired from the military. And during hurricane season, he looked like he just didn't sweat. He didn't sweat where everybody else is panicking, trying to go get water, trying to go get batteries, trying to get food, canned goods, and generators, and everything. And he just, you know, maybe a week before the hurricane, he had his shutters, and he would start putting them up with his electronic tools and just taking his time about everything. Like he had no, there was no rushing for anything. He just was just as cavalier. And then one day, after many years of seeing this man operate like this, and here I am having a panic attack, trying to get ready for the hurricane, trying to be with the rest of the crowd, getting gas at the last minute, staying in those long lines. Here I was trying to find bread on the shelves at the last minute, like the rest of the world in that area. And here I was trying to find water. You're out of water. You're running to 10 and 11 stores trying to find just a gallon of water just in case. And here I was. So I asked him one year. I said to him, I said, listen, friend of mine, how do you stay so calm with the hurricane? How do you get ready for it? He said, listen, I don't ever get ready for the hurricane. He said, I stay ready. I stay ready for the hurricane. And I say, so break that down for me. What does that mean? You stay ready for the hurricane. He said, you know, every year we know the hurricane season starts June 1st, and it runs till, used to be, I think, November. Now I think it's December 1st or something. And he said, so you know that it's coming. The season is coming every year. And so he says, I know that. So he says, I stay ready. I know that hurricane season, because we live in Florida, you know, I know that June 1st is coming. As it vastly approaches, I start getting, you know, making sure that my water supply is there, you know, having enough water, more than enough. I make sure that all my batteries are functional, and I just go out and get new batteries, you know, just in case. I make certain that all of my flashlights are operable, you know, and just so happen I may go out and buy another flashlight just in case. He says, I make sure that my transformer is working and has enough gas, you know, and I have extra in my warehouse out there. And he says, I make sure that my cars, he had two vehicles, are always filled with gas. I stay ready. I don't let them go under 3/4. And so he says, so I never get ready. He said, I stay ready. And, you know, from that time that he told me that, and it's been more than 15 years now, I use that same strategy. And, you know, when we're talking about practical survival tips during a pandemic or natural disaster, perhaps we didn't know how to prepare for this pandemic. But maybe life might not be the same, or this might be the new normal. We don't know. But, you know, we just have to exercise our faith or our belief system to trust. You know, you're going to believe in something, and you're going to have faith in something. That's the bottom line. You're going to believe in something or someone, and you're going to have faith in something or someone. And, you know, whether that faith is in the government, you're going to have the faith in them, and you're hoping that they can come up with a vaccine. You know, you're going to have your belief is something. You're going to have belief in something or someone. And if your belief is in the government, you want to believe that they're going to come up with a vaccine. So you're going to, no matter how it goes, the practical aspect of it is you're going to have faith in something or someone, or you're going to believe in something or someone, or you're going to choose not to have faith in someone or something, or you're going to choose to not have faith, belief in something or someone. And you're just going to be out there like ambiguous. You're just going to be confused. You're just going to be out there in doubt of everything. And watch those people that they don't have a belief in something. It doesn't have to be a belief in God. I'm not trying to convince anybody. And they may not have a belief in anything. They might only believe in themselves. And think about it. If you only believe in yourself to the point that you don't think anybody else exists, you're fooling yourself. Because from a kid, I remember when they talked about no man is an island. That is so true. No man, we can't live alone like this. We're social beings. So there was something that created us. There was something that brought us to be. And then there's, you know, that's what I believe. I choose to believe it because it's too organized. It's a system that's too perfect. And I'm not talking about man's system. I'm talking about the natural element, the natural system of things. It's too perfect. It's too perfect for man in the human sense to have orchestrated this. No one can, I just can't see who's got that kind of power. It has to be a supernatural being that it can cause planet Earth, planet Earth, to have oxygen for us to breathe on. You know, and men say we've gone to Mars, and, you know, they're looking for water on Mars, because when you can find water, there may be some evidence of life form, some type of life. And that's what they're looking for, water, and that's what science says. And I'm a strong component of science. I believe a lot in science. I just believe that our Creator gave us so much that was part of what we were organized to do. Science is about an organized collection of knowledge about the world around us. Now, I think that if the Creator had just made us to be here with nothing to do, we would just be bored. But he gave us things, a mind, a brain, to operate and function and to discover. That's what it's all about, to discover, to go after things, to learn them, to examine, to explore. I just get so excited because, I mean, creation is just so, if you really, really look into creation, I believe, this is just me, you will find God. You will find enough to believe in God. You will find enough that gives you the faith in God. That's just me now. That's just me from a frail human perspective talking. And that's what I believe, that that's the only one that can give us life. And then I believe that even after life, as we know it, death we call it, I believe that's just the sting that we go through before the judgment comes. And then I believe that, you know, those that have believed, like John 3:16 says, I want to believe it, and I do believe it, that we're those spiritual beings, and that spiritual element of us will exist eternally. And you see, this is way out now, because there's that element that the spiritual body or the spiritual being doesn't have to have a body, doesn't have to have a shell, you know, to exist in. It exists because God exists. And that spiritual world, you can move about, unlike you can't move about in a human form. And I just believe that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. That's my belief. You know, I want to share this with you. When you start to thinking about when you allow someone to come in and start to try and influence your belief system or your faith, I want you to think about this. According to the story of creation, the serpent, when God gave Adam the instructions to not eat of the tree of life, eat of this tree, of good and evil, when he gave him those instructions, I believe that that was a test of Adam's faithfulness and loyalty to God. And God gave him those instructions directly. And I believe there may have also been a time that God gave it to Eve as well, or if not, Adam gave her instructions. He gave her instructions. And so either way, they both knew what they were not supposed to do. And so according to the story of creation, and so when the woman deviated from the man, and she came across this tree, and according to the story of creation, the woman, had a conversation with this serpent. And the serpent, you know, the thing about when people come to you with rumors and gossip, they don't, may not have all the facts, but they may give you a half-truth, just like the lady gave a half-truth about the woman's husband being at a hotel with another woman. That was only a half-truth. And see, with a half-truth, that means half of it is likely to be true, but then there's the other half that's pretty much a lie or an untruth, which is a lie. It's a non-truth. So, excuse me. So now the serpent told her that it is not true that what God said, if you eat of the tree of life. He went on to tell her that God know that your eyes would be opened, that you would see things as they are. You would see them. You will have the ability to now to know the difference between good and evil, and that the fruit is not all bad. After all, if there's a serpent, he's in the tree. And so now, the fact of the woman, here, the woman made several mistakes. And let me tell you where she made her mistake. The first mistake that the woman made, was when she gave the serpent time. That's the first mistake. She gave the serpent time. And oftentimes people get in trouble because they give, they give the wrong people time. That's what they do. They do. The second mistake she made was when the devil or the serpent immediately started telling her, contrary to what the Creator had already told them. All right, that's the second mistake. When the serpent, began to go contrary and said, that's not true. God is the Creator. God is the Creator who created the serpent. The first one was that she gave him time, which equates to also too much time. You will run into problems when you give people, the wrong people, too much of your time. And so the second mistake again, that the minute or the second that the serpent began to go contrary to God's word, that's when she ran into problems. She ran into problems right there. Because she gave him too much time. The third thing is, the second thing, of course, when he went contrary, the third thing is she started to believe what the serpent was saying. She started to believe it. She started without a doubt to believe it. And then the fourth thing is she obviously had faith in what he was saying to her. And how can I say that? You can say, well, how do you say that? She believed because what happened was she took the fruit, whatever it was. She took it. And the fifth mistake was, she touched it. She touched it. She was not supposed to touch that. She wasn't supposed to touch that. So when she touched it, that was the fifth mistake. And the sixth mistake was that she ate the fruit. She bit into it. That was the sixth mistake. And then the seventh mistake, which I don't really know if this one was her mistake, but she gave it into her husband, the man, Adam. And he did take of the fruit. Now, you see how that is? All of the one thing led up to all of those other things. One thing led up to all of those other things. And as such, that's where she ended up. And that's where we ended up. And so I'm saying to you all tonight that are listening under the sound of my voice, the same thing. I'm telling you the same exact thing. I'm saying to you, who you decide to listen to, who you decide to listen to, is going to determine whether you believe them. Person or not, but you're going to, at the end of the day, you're going to believe in someone or something. We are humans. That's what we do. I don't care if, even if you don't believe in God, if you say, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, then that means you believe that there is no God. That's your belief, that there is no God. That's your faith. There is no faith. I don't need faith to put it in God. But in your silence, in your disbelief, you're putting faith in someone or something, okay? You're putting faith, whether that's science and solely on science, you're putting your faith somewhere. You're hoping, for example, with the pandemic, you're hoping, hey, come on, you all come up with it because I don't want to die. Well, you know what? There shouldn't be a Christian or a follower of Christ who has a fear of dying. Because if you really believe that Christ rose again, if you really believe that you're called by his name, if you really believe that you're one of his children, then why fear? Why fear? It's a sting. That's what he tells us. And he has the victory over death. And I'm telling you, there is something, see, there is something in my mind and my belief system and in my faith, there's something out there that is so wonderful that I was talking with a lady the other day. She said, you know, I believe that after all of this is over, with all the hell that we went through on earth, and we get to that other side, we will look back and it will be just like a glimpse. And we will say it was worth it all to get here, to where now we have eternity with God, with the Creator, and you never die again. That's got to be, I mean, because, I mean, just our temporary time on this planet, wow, it doesn't equate. It just doesn't. It does not equate. It does not equate. It really doesn't. It doesn't equate to the world that we don't know. And maybe we're able to travel to the galaxies through the spiritual world, unlike in this human form. You know, we're able to travel there. You know, I'm told that, you know, through books of prophecy, that it takes angels to get here like in 7 seconds. I mean, they they can break the speed barrier, you know, speed of light. And us saying that, you know, it's just amazing. But we're all going to believe in something. We subscribe to something or to someone. And, you know, just like I told you about the story of Eve, and I'm not picking on Eve because I think that I believe that God was probably more upset with Adam because he depended on Adam to head the woman out, to protect the woman. And even in this day, sometimes we as men, we fail to do the protecting of the woman. We fail to do that. We fail to protect our daughters. You know, and God is going to hold us all as men accountable for our families. Because he's going to say, where is that child that I gave you? Where is that woman that I gave you to protect? Now, he's going to hold us accountable, just as he did with Adam. He was so upset. I believe he was terribly upset with Adam. And then Adam wimped out. When he said, Adam, where are you? he did know. Where are you, Adam? He said, I was hiding. The minute that Adam said that to God, you see, God already knew. And I'm going to tell you how God knew, how I believe God knew. God already knew. But he asked Adam just to see if Adam was going to tell him the truth, just to see what kind of man he had created, just to see what his creation was, because he gave Adam free choice, free choice. And the reason why he gave him free choice, because he said, listen, all of these trees in here you can eat from. Not this, don't even touch it, he told him. Don't touch that tree. Of all these trees. So why would God put one tree there and tell him, don't even touch this tree? And definitely don't eat from it. Don't touch the tree. Because it was a test to see if his creation with free will was going to be obedient to him, was going to be loyal to him, was going to trust him in what he told him. And Adam failed God. And all of us fail God when we do what Adam did. We fail to trust him where we can't trace him. God's word has to be good enough, but we don't take it as good enough. Sometimes we got to see for ourselves. We got to just, like those little inquisitive children, they got to be just mischievous and go see to discover for themselves. And so Adam said, I was hiding. He said, who told you you were hiding? Have you eaten from that tree that I told you not to? And you know what Adam said? He didn't even answer him directly. He didn't even answer him directly. God asked him a question, and Adam quickly put it to the woman that you gave him. The woman that you, he put it right back to God. Have mercy. Help me, Holy Ghost. God said, who told you that you were naked? And that's when, because see, Adam was naked. He was hiding because he didn't want God to see. And if God didn't know, have you been eating from that tree I know told you not to eat from? And sure enough, that's what he had done. And Adam wouldn't even answer him and say, Father, forgive me. Yes, I've eaten from that. But he quickly put it on the woman. He shifted it. He said, he put it to God. God, the woman you gave me. Not the one, I didn't even ask for her. You gave her to me. She gave me, and I did eat. And he said, well, what is this that thou hast done? And she said, everybody was looking for somebody to blame. The serpent beguiled me. He tricked me. How is that a trick? How is that a trick when God told him, don't even touch it? Because those six mistakes, that she made. She allowed that, her free will. And so tonight, I want you all to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged that, you know what? In his love for humanity, he didn't leave them hot and dry. He put some stipulations on them. He said man was going to sweat from the top of his brow and do all his work. He would eat from the ground. And then he told the woman she would have pain in her childbearing. She was going to have pain. And God meant what he said. But listen to this. God had a plan of salvation. That's, I believe, God knew that man was going to fail him. So he made a plan of salvation for Adam. And we're out of time, but I got to continue with this one. He had a plan of salvation to bring Adam back into his good grace. But listen, I want you to be encouraged, because I got another part to this. That, oh, my goodness, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Join us here next week. We're out of time. I certainly accepted this program and it's been as beneficial as it is for me. And, you know, oh, my goodness, if you only knew how much God loves humanity. He loves us. Despite of all that we're going through, he loves us. We have free will and we're hurting each other. God is not pleased about that. Listen, I'm out of time. Join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. It's all about relationships. Of course, choose a bypass. Next Thursday's broadcast. Join us back here live. for your half-hour inspirational program every Friday from 7 to 7:30. There are times when we go to 7:45 and to 8 o'clock because of the content of the story base or the topic. All right, listen, we'll see you next Thursday or back here live next Friday. Until then, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.